Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. It takes faith, doesn't it? To believe even when our eyes can't see. Sometimes we're like old Thomas in the Bible. He said, I won't believe it until I see it. Until I put my finger in the hole in his hand, I won't believe he's back again. But through it all, as the song says, through it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, through it all, our eyes are on you. Man, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord, especially when life gets hard. Through it all, our eyes are on you, Lord, and it is well with my soul. So let go. Let go, my soul, and trust in him. That was the verse for Jasmine, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Talked about trust last week. We got to trust in him more. We say we trust in him, but, you know, sometimes we've got our doubts. The waves and winds still know his name. Isn't that wild when you think about that? That's wild to me. Jesus speaks to nature and nature obeys, right? He speaks, creation obeys the creator. How come we're the only ones who struggle with obeying our creator? So let go our souls and trust in him. So it can be well with our souls this morning, too. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about life this morning and the high value that Jesus puts on our lives. Unfortunately, not everyone values human life like Jesus does. Not everyone realizes how sacred, how precious our lives are. But I thank God for places like New Hope Pregnancy Care Center. And I'm so thankful that this church has been in an ongoing partnership with them since we've been here, which is 16 years. And because you give faithfully, we're able to give to them monthly and are able to offer all their services for free. So let's keep that up. But I pray that there'll be more pregnancy care centers like New Hope to open up where the love of Christ is being shared with everyone who walks in their doors. I've not heard any negative talk. If you've heard one, let me know. But they show the love of Jesus to everyone, no matter what they decide to do with an unplanned pregnancy. But they're there to help people find help to save life instead of ending life. So Jesus came to give life, not take it away. So we're going to look at a familiar scripture in John's Gospel to see the kind of life that Jesus came to give us, all right? The title of this morning's message is The Abundant Life, and we're going to be in John chapter 10. So, Father, open up your word to us. We probably know this verse frontwards and backwards, but teach us from your word this morning. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is speaking to this church this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, that's good. The abundant life. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas of what abundant life looks like, right? If you have something in abundance, you have plenty of it, right? Chances are if you have 10 zucchini plants in your garden, you're going to have an abundance of zucchini this summer. That stuff grows overnight. You're going to have plenty of it. You're going to have large quantities of zucchini. You're going to have much more than enough, right? That's what abundance is. It's plenty. It's large quantities. It's generous helpings. It's much more than enough. And we serve a God of more than enough, right? Of much more than enough. He not only meets our needs, he oftentimes just blesses us and gives us our wants because he's that kind and generous. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask for or imagine. That's what it says in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Another translation, that verse says, he can accomplish infinitely more. Another one says, he's able to do exceedingly above all we ask for or imagine. In other words, he's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's a God of abundance. But how do I measure abundance? How do you measure abundance? How do we describe the abundant life? Does it mean having more than enough money? Does it mean having more than enough rooms in our home? Does it mean having more than enough clothes in our closet? More than enough food in our fridge or freezer? Having more than enough stuff? We obviously have more than enough stuff, otherwise there'd be no mini warehouse business, right? But how do we describe abundant life? And would we say that we're living an abundant life? Would others look at us and the way we're living and think we're living an abundant life? I guess it depends who you ask. And it depends on what their value system is. Are their values determined by biblical standards or by worldly standards? Because people could have a lot of material goods and still be spiritually bankrupt. Now, I believe to have a real abundant life, you must first know the giver of abundant life, right? Does that make sense? So let's look at this verse. Let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. Lord, add your blessing to your word this morning. And Jesus says, the thief, that'd be Satan, right? The thief comes only. The only reason he comes is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's MO, right? Steal, kill, destroy. That's all he does. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. The thief comes to take life and Jesus comes to give life. So make no mistake about it, Jesus is 100% pro-life. The thief takes life. Jesus gives life. Now, earlier in this chapter 10, Jesus tells us that he is the gate for the sheep. The context is talking about shepherds and taking care of sheep. And Jesus, as we know, is our good shepherd. He tells us so later in this same chapter. And he clarifies that he's not just our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Because he knows, and we should know, that there are some not-so-good shepherds out there, right? And shepherds back then would lay down at night in the opening of the sheep pen to protect the sheep from any wolves or thieves from getting into the sheep pen to steal or to kill or to destroy any of the sheep. So the shepherd was like the gate, like the security gate, the door you had to get through to get into the sheep pen. And Jesus tells us, I am the gate for the sheep, right? He said, I'm the door of the sheep. And then he says, if anyone enters by me, they will be saved. They'll come and go freely and will find good pasture. Oh, I love that. What a promise that is. If anyone enters by me, he tells us, they will be saved. They'll come and go freely and find good pasture. Just like a good shepherd would lay down his life to keep his sheep safe at night, our good shepherd, Jesus, he laid down his life to save us from the thief, to save us from being destroyed, right? And Jesus is pointing out to us who keeps trying to steal, kill, or destroy the abundant life that we have in Christ. It's the thief, right? It's the enemy. It's the devil. It's old Slewfoot himself, right? But Jesus is the gate or the door that leads us into the abundant life. The abundant life of his blessings and promises and the assurance of eternal life with him. And those promises and those blessings are for everyone who is in Christ and for everyone who has Christ in them. So make sure of that, okay? We're talking about your eternity. Make sure that you are in Christ and that Christ is in you. If you're not sure of that, please stick around and we'll talk, okay? Listen, Jesus doesn't want to just protect his sheep from the thief. He wants to do more than just protect us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to provide life for us. He wants to provide abundant life for us. And an abundant life, first and foremost, is our eternal life in Christ. Okay? That's number one. Abundant life is a life that's rooted in Jesus with a heavenly perspective that leads us into a growing trust and a growing knowledge of Christ. In his last recorded words, the Apostle Peter, this is what he wrote, his last words that we know of, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And he put his pen down for the last time. That was the last thing Peter wanted us to know. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So an abundant life is a life rooted in Jesus with a heavenly perspective that leads us into a growing trust and a growing knowledge of Christ. Thursday night Bible study, Dan made a good point about growing. He said, I'm not sure if I got this word for word. Sometimes I don't listen well. Bobby says, you don't listen well. At least I think that's what she said. Anyway, I'm joking. I listened to her. Anyway, basically what I remember Dan saying was, he said, I don't think we can just be stationary in our faith, right? Not moving. We're either growing, pursuing, pressing into God for more, or we're gradually just slowly slipping back. We're either moving forward or moving backward. Is that close enough? Pretty close. Okay. So the abundant life in Christ is a life that's growing. It's growing and it's blossoming into a life full of the fruit of the Spirit. So I got to ask myself and ask you, are lives growing and blooming, blossoming with more love, more joy, more peace, more patience? If not, why not? Because that's part of the abundant life Jesus came to give every one of us. It's there for the taking. Aren't you thankful that his desire for us was not just to create us and then let us be, just to exist, try to survive? He wants us to thrive. He wants us to live abundantly. Now, the world's interpretation of abundant living is a whole lot different than Jesus's. And unfortunately, a lot of the worldly thinking about abundance has crept into the church leadership and how some teach and preach about living abundantly. And Jesus isn't saying just name it and claim it like some preachers do. Jesus is not a prosperity gospel preacher. So how do we live this abundant life Jesus came to give us? Maybe it would help if we first clearly identified the thief. You might say, well, Bob, we know the thief is Satan. Yeah, we all know that he is the thief. But there's other thieves, right? Who or what is the thief in my life? What's keeping me from living the abundant life? Who or what is the thief in your life? What's keeping us from living this abundant life in Christ? Because we're being constantly bombarded and distracted by so many voices, so many choices that are competing for our attention and our time and our money, promising us happiness, promising us fulfillment, promising us contentment. But which voices are we listening to? Because my experience has been most of them are making empty promises. Remember, the thief is a counterfeiter. He can't create anything. He can only pervert what God has created, right? Think about all the things that God has created for our good and how Satan has perverted them for evil. We know he's a liar. We know he's the father of lies. We know there's no truth in him. But he is sneaky. Oh, he is so, so sneaky. He knows when to strike and he knows how to strike. And he'll make us promises that are attractive alternatives to God's promises. And they look good. And they sound good. But they're shallow. They're hollow. They're providing only very, very temporary happiness. Nothing that will last. And yet Jesus offers every one of us everlasting life and abundance. See, we live in a very broken world. I mean, just look around. But keeping our eyes on Jesus, And trusting in His promises gives us the hope and the encouragement we need to keep moving forward, pressing into Him instead of sliding backwards. And it's easy to do. But let's remember, Jesus is the gate, right? He's the living door that we must enter through to receive His promises and live this abundant life He came to give us. And we enter through this living door by faith in Him. God's not going to shove us through it. He's not going to force us to enter in. But when we finally wake up and we do enter in and we receive Him, our good shepherd, He says, all that come by me will be saved, right? We receive Him as our personal Savior, then we are safe. We're safe with Him. And we keep going through Him to find a good pasture He provides for our nourishment, for our strength, for our restoration, for our rest, for our peace. I mean, the list goes on and on. I sure hope you believe that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? One translation says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Sometimes we mix our needs and our wants. We think, I really need that. Really? It's surprising how little we can get by on when we have to. He makes me lie down in what? Green pastures. Not some dry, barren field. Healthy, lush, living, green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, quiet waters, peaceful streams. He restores my soul. He restores our souls. That's what He did for Bobby and I when we went away for a couple days earlier this month. He restored our souls. It feels so good. It's so necessary from time to time. That's what our good shepherd Jesus does for us when we enter in, right? When you enter in through this living door that He is. But He's not going to force us, right? We enter in through the living door by faith. We enter into the abundant life by faith and trust. Faith and trust in the only one who came to give us abundant life, Jesus. Now, I want us to look at John 10:10 in the King James to point something out. So the same verse, only in the King James Version, reads like this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. I am come. Now, that may be terrible grammar. That would just really upset English teachers. I am come. But it indicates something that's happening at this present moment right now. God is present right now, right? He is. He's here. But those two words, I am, they're one of the titles of His deity, of His supremacy, aren't they? Not sure? Think back in the book of Exodus. It was in chapter 3 when God tells Moses, lead the Israelites out of their bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt, right? And Moses asked God, okay, great, but suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And what if they ask me, God, what if they say, oh yeah, what's His name? What do I say then? God told Moses, tell them, I am sent you. I am sent you, Moses. Tell them I am sent you. I am. It's one of the titles of God's supreme deity. And it indicates something is happening at this present moment. And here in John 10, verse 10, Jesus is saying, I am, not I will be, not I was, not I might be, not I hope I'll be. He's saying, I am. And when we look through the scriptures in John, we see Jesus saying, I am, a lot. Here's just a few quotes from Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Right? Jesus said, I am. the living bread. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we're talking about today. Life, abundant life in Christ. Jesus says, I am the door, or I am the gate. He said, I am the good shepherd. And it goes on. And he's all of those things right at this present moment, right now. All of those things. Whew, wow. I am come right now that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So every time Jesus said, I am, it was pointing to his title of supreme deity too. And here in John 10, he presents himself as the good shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep so that they may have life, so that they may have abundant life, so that they may have eternal life. Who's Jesus referring to when he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly? Who is they? It's his sheep, right? It's all those who belong to him. So if you belong to Jesus, you are they. And you can just put your name in there. Jesus says, I came that Josiah may have life. I came so that Lewis may have life. I came that Dan and Wendy may have life. And Stephen and Kimberly and Mike and Lisa and William and Pam and Jeff and Rob and Scott and Sandra and Chris and me. He came for everyone who belongs to him so they may have life and have it abundantly. Now the enemy is always going to try to steal from God's children. That's what he does, right? He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And he'll try to deceive every one of us into believing that the real abundant life is found in pursuing the stuff of the world and accumulating the stuff of the world. The world will say, guys, if you drink the right beer and you drive the right car, you get the hot girl, right? That's the way the world advertises things. That's the abundant life, according to the world. And girls, if you wear the right makeup, if you buy the tight little black dress, if you hang out in a trendy club and you sip the right drink, you'll meet that rich hot guy. And then both of you can live la vida loco, or whatever they call it now. According to the world, that's the abundant life. Isn't that what the advertisers are trying to sell us on? You know, we can't find the abundant life in stuff. We won't find the abundant life in a bottle or in a pill or in a line of white powder on a mirror or any other temporary high that the world offers, because I know I tried and I tried some more and I tried some more and I tried some more and I kept trying. For years, I tried to find what I thought was abundant life in the pleasures of this world, and the thief almost destroyed me. Oh man, he almost got me so many times. I thought I was lucky. I was stupid. I was ignorant. I didn't know God had his hand on me. Probably saying, I wish you'd stop being so stupid, Bob. I wish you'd wake up. Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 10, that the real abundant life can only be found in him. I hope you believe that this morning. It took me 33 years before I believed it. Better late than never. But let me tell you something from personal experience. Real abundant living now, not the world's view, it doesn't exist until we've completely committed our lives to Christ. Not just on a Sunday morning for 2 hours, not riding a fence with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. It's got to be a total surrender to Jesus Christ. It's got to be a lifetime commitment to serving him and living for him instead of just ourselves. But we don't like that word commitment too much, right? It's obvious by the lack of commitment that exists in the world today. It's obvious by the lack of commitment that exists in the body of Christ today. But the abundant life promised to us in Christ, it doesn't come from grasping and clawing and scratching our way to the top. It comes from releasing. Doesn't come by striving harder. It comes from letting go. It comes from relinquishing our tight grip on our plans and our agenda and grabbing onto Jesus' plan and his agenda. Abundant life doesn't come from taking and taking and taking. It comes from giving and giving and giving. Surrender and trust and obedience are the keys to living the abundant life Christ came to give us. So we need to surrender our efforts of trying to live outside of his grasp, right? Outside of the grasp of his love for us, because everything he does is motivated by love. And we need to surrender to God's will and to his plans and to his purposes. Surrender to his grace and his mercy and his love. Surrender is being fully willing to trust and obey the Lord, and it's a trust and it's obedience based on his love for every one of us. It's relaxing and letting go. It's like floating on a river in a big inner tube, right? A river that is God's love for us. Does that make any sense? You can't float in a river until you let go of the security of holding on to that dock or whatever you're holding on to for security. You can't float in his love if you're holding on to something that this world has a grip on you. Because floating is, it's putting all your confidence, all your weight on the water, well, on the inner tube as well, but you're trusting. You're trusting that you're being supported, that the thing's going to hold you up and you don't have to fight against sinking or going under. And it's only then, when we finally let go and trust, only then do we discover that he's got us, that we are supported, that we're not sinking, that we're not going under. That involves trust. We won't let go of our self-dependence and transfer our dependence to someone else without really trusting them, will we? No. So I guess the real question is, do we trust Jesus enough? Now, I know the Sunday school, I say, oh, yeah, but I trust Jesus. Yeah, trust and obey. There's no other way. I trust him. I know, but do we trust him enough? I talked to some people a while back, and they said, you know, I'm afraid to tithe. I think, why are you afraid to tithe? Well, I'm afraid I won't have enough. It's like, well, who are you trusting in? I said, I don't think you can afford not to tithe. You know, don't be afraid to tithe. Trust him. Test him. It's the only place in the Bible God tells us to test him, right? But do we trust him enough to surrender our great plans for his plans? You know, it's in Isaiah 55 where we find out his ways and his thoughts are so much higher and greater than our thoughts. So his plans for us are so much better than our own plans for ourselves. But do we trust him enough to commit our lives to him 7 days a week instead of only one day? Hey, if we're trusting him with our eternity, and I hope everyone in here is trusting him with your eternity, wouldn't it be foolish not to trust him with our day-to-day stuff? If we're trusting him with eternity, surely we can trust him with the everyday stuff. So I say, no, I got it, God. No, I'm going to do this instead of that. You know, you can be in perfect health. You can be a multimillionaire. You can have everything the world has to offer. But if you still haven't experienced the saving work of Christ's death on the cross in your heart, then I don't care how much of the world's stuff you possess. I don't care how many buildings have your name on them. You're still not living the abundant life. Now, you may think you are. I remember when I was doing youth ministry in Ottawa with the youth group that I affectionately called the Spoiled Little Rich Kids. These kids went to Baylor, Macaulay, GPS. Every winter, they flew to Aspen. They skied. They went to Cancun. Kid turned 16. His father's got him a brand new BMW. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? They thought life was fine. They were living the abundant life, right? To try to tell these kids, hey, but without Jesus, your life's empty. I said, no, my life's full. Look, It looks pretty good from where I'm standing. That was a hard sell. I'll tell you, it was a hard sell. Anyway, you can have all that stuff, but still not be living true, abundant life, because you're only existing here and for the pleasures of this world that are all temporary. And we don't want to ignore the eternal because we're too consumed with the temporary. The truth is, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy us. But Jesus promises us. He promises us that he came that we, all of us, we may have life and have it abundantly. A life full of his fruit. A life full of love. A life full of joy. A life full of peace. What's that worth to you? Having peace in your home. Can you put a price tag on that? It's priceless. A life full of patience. Ooh, that's a hard one. A life full of kindness. A life full of goodness and faithfulness. And a life full of gentleness and self-control. That's part of all fruit of the Spirit. That's living an abundant life. That's what Jesus came to give us. And he's already paid the price for it. He's already paid the price for it. Is that the kind of life you're living? Anybody? I didn't see any hands go up. You notice I didn't put my hand up either. So what's holding us back? What is keeping us from experiencing this abundant life? We know it's not Jesus, because that's what he came to give us, so it must be us. It must be us letting the thief into our lives just a little, just enough to steal. Just a little, just enough to kill, just enough to destroy. But we've been given power and authority over him. Right? Power and authority to stop him. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. So it's time to put up the no trespassing sign. Satan, it's time to run him off so we can finally live the life Jesus came to give us. So we can live the abundant life we have in Christ. Amen? I want that. Don't you? Isn't that what we all want? Let's pray for it. Stand with me if you're able. Have a closing prayer. If you want prayer for anything, I'll be up here. You can pray where you are. Pray for someone. If you got to go, by all means, have a blessed day. I hope you come back next Sunday. Lord, thank you. This one verse, there's so much in that one verse that we know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his game. That's all he's good for. But you say, I have come so that they may have life and have life abundantly. And that's what we're asking for this morning. Forgive us for our foolish ways. Forgive us for the stupid things we've done. Forgive us how we've wasted money and time and energy pursuing worthless things. Oh, Lord, there's so much wasted years that I can see in my life, but I don't want to live in regret. That was then, this is now. You can redeem the times. You can restore the years the locust has eaten. So that's what we ask for. And I just pray that every one of us will pursue you more. Like Dan said, we don't want to be still. We don't want to be stationary in our faith. We want to grow. We want to move forward. We want to press into you for more and more. You came to give us abundant life. And yet so many of us, including myself, aren't latching onto that, aren't living in the thick of it. And we want that. So we're asking, help us. Help us this morning. Set aside the foolishness. Set aside the temporary junk, the stuff that won't satisfy for long. Set aside all that instant gratification stuff we seem to have. And let us pursue you with clean hands and a pure heart. Let us pursue you so we can ascend the hill of the Lord, so we can stand in your presence, so we can enjoy that abundant life. I pray that for every one of us here, Lord, that we would, if we're not already living it, we would begin living what you call the abundant life, not what the world calls it, but what you call the abundant life. more fruit of the Spirit, may it grow and blossom and bloom in our lives. So when people see us, they'll say, ah, that's real abundant life. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this time together. I pray blessings over everyone here, and whatever needs they have, may they find you supply all our needs. You are Jehovah Jireh, our God who supplies, our God who provides. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen.